Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Friday. Yes, Friday is finally here. Thank you for joining us at the Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone is ready for the weekend. Hopefully we're ready to get this thing going. Good weekend of sports coming up. Ton of NFL game. Ton of college games. Hopefully you were with us yesterday while we picked the games that you should watch in college football this Saturday. And today, of course, we're going to give you the winners this weekend. Now, this is just for fun, not for gambling purposes, although I would believe me. And you could say, well, you did pick the Bears yesterday, but picked that one with my heart. Dumb pick, but picked it with my heart. So whenever I pick the Bears to win, you got to excuse that because we all know that the Bears are not very good. What's going on, everyone? Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Let me tell you something. Best selection of cigars in the valley, bar none. The best, period. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get your sticks. Don't have to worry about taking them home, worrying about them. Will they be bad? Will they still be good? Become a member. Get yourself a locker. Locker backs up to a humidor. You never have to worry about your sticks going bad. Come in, sit down, relax. They do have the NFL League Pass, so you have nothing to worry about. You can sit down, like I said, relax. Enjoy the game. They never close until the last game goes off. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into football. Let's get into last night. Ah, boy. I want to make this a very quick segment. I know I'm not going to be able to because the Bears look like how we expected them to look. I think we got, I don't want to say it was a farce, but first game, Bears fans got really excited. Hey, we could beat Atlanta. We came this close. We should have beat Atlanta, but we didn't. Go down to Tampa Bay. Go down to Tampa. Tampa Bay kicks our butt, and you say, well, you know what? Tampa's a really good team and really didn't expect to win that game anyway. Then you come back, play Pittsburgh at home. You say, hey, that's not a bad win. Beat a sure playoff team. Looked pretty good doing it. Was able to run the ball, was able to move the ball against him, despite what the quarterback did, still played pretty okay. Went back on the road again to Green Bay and just got killed. Glennon was responsible for four turnovers, and they just didn't look good. The Bears just didn't look good. So we could either have one or two theories here. We could say the Bears play very well at home, and on the road, they're just a flat dog. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Or we could say they had one good come-up game, and reality is they're just not a good team. I'm going to say they're not a good team, obviously. And they did have a good come-up game. Technically, they had two good come-up games. But I think we saw what we're going to get from the Bears the rest of this season. I don't think anyone is surprised by a team. When you're a bad team, this honestly is what you get. You don't get constantly great performances. You get up and down performances. And that's what the Bears are giving. They gave one decent performance in a game that they could have won. They gave a lousy performance. And then they gave you a good performance against Pittsburgh. And now they gave you a lousy performance against Green Bay. And it does not get easier from here. It does not get easier. You would think the Bears were a winning team last year with the schedule they have to start the season. I mean, they have a tough schedule to start the year. Like I said, they started with Atlanta, Super Bowl team, Buccaneers, favorite to go to the playoffs, Pittsburgh, another playoff team, favorite to go to the playoffs, Green Bay, favorite to go to the playoffs, Vikings looking like they're going to get in the playoffs, the Ravens off to a good start minus the Jaguar game, Panthers 2-1, Saints, that might be the best or the most team, the closest team to where the Bears are, and that's not saying the Saints are that bad, just their defense, but then you go back to the Packers, back to the Lions, then the Eagles, you finally get a dog in San Fran, you get to go to the Bengals, who knows how they'll be playing, the Lions, then the Browns, and then the Vikings again. They just don't have that many winnable games. But I want to address the elephant in the room, and that's the quarterback position. Glennon, I think the Bears were very nice and gave him $18.5 million, and it's time for him to move aside. Now, I thought all this time that the Bears would wait until their bye week before they made the move and before they came back, which would take them through the Saints game. They have their bye week in week 9, and then I thought he'd come back against the Packers at home, and I'm talking about bringing in the rookie, Mitch Trubisky, and I thought Glennon would last that long. And I thought, well, hey, you got a rookie quarterback. The last thing you want to do is throw him right in the line of fire. You don't want to get him on this murderous road that they have. You kind of want to get him when the schedule lines up a little bit. But you know what? Since the schedule really doesn't lighten up as much as I thought maybe it would, it just may be time. I mean, and the games on the road that the Bears just got their butts handed to them, that they just got railroaded, that they just let the other team go through them like a hot knife and butter, Glennon didn't show up on the road. He just flat out did not show up. I mean, he was there. Almost wish he wasn't there. But he did absolutely nothing. And don't tell me, well, he did pass for 301 yards against Tampa Bay. What does that mean when you're already down 26-0 at halftime? Of course you got to throw the ball. And that game against Tampa Bay, he had 2 more interceptions. And one of them was a pick six. I don't want to hear nonsense. We're all grown folks. Let's speak truth. Last night, second road game, responsible for 4 more turnovers. Two of them by interception. So it's like every time you tell me, well, maybe they should hold on to him. No, they can't hold on to him. They can't. They can't do this any longer. John Fox may be sitting there saying, well, I think he gives us the best chance to win. Let me give you the IE on that. IE means best chance to win, the best chance for me to keep my job. John Fox, let me tell you something. There is no difference right now between what you're getting from Mike Glennon that you were not going to get from Mitch Trubisky. And that whole everyone is being evaluated. You don't think the owner's evaluating you? And you may not want to put in a rookie and let him progress under you and get him ready for the next coach to succeed. But the next coach is going to be succeeding a lot sooner if you get fired a lot sooner, because Glennon is not the answer. He's not the total problem, but he's not the answer. I'm Kerry Lackey, Law Line, with us, the one, only, Mia Chambers. Chambers, what's happening?
Hey, Paul, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday. You know, we started with our dance music. We're going to end with some dance music. It is Friday, and it's football weekend. Better yet, scrimmages are going on in the NBA. That kicks off in a little over a couple weeks. I couldn't be happier.
I see you fighting through the pain. I see you fighting through the pain. It is going to be a good weekend, though. I'm excited to get some football done.
It is, and you know what? The pain is not the pain that you would have. I'm a realist. When the season started, I think you remember, I picked the Bears to win, I think it was three games. And I said I treat the Bears like a hand of spades. I see three, maybe four, might fall down to two if my partner's not that good. So it's not that they're losing that I think is upsetting me. It's how they're performing and losing on the road versus how they were performing at home. And when you have a veteran quarterback, you can't have those types of ebbs and flows with a veteran quarterback. And I'm thinking, even though I said Trubisky after the bye week 8, if Glennon is going to play like this on the road, because he's playing, Bears are playing completely different at home and on the road, then you got to get him out of there. You're not getting any, he's not giving you any real lift if he can't be better on the road. A rookie could win at home, I believe. But the Bears played Atlanta very well. Didn't win the game, played them very well. Went to Tampa Bay, got the doors blown off. Came home, played well against Pittsburgh. Go on a road up to Green Bay, get the doors blown off. A veteran quarterback, a true veteran quarterback that's good, they don't let that happen. So I just don't see why we're now waiting on the future when the present isn't doing anything.
Well, I honestly don't feel like anything is going to change. He has to play. They can't, you know,
here's what changes. Go ahead.
After the display, tell me where it changes.
Well, it changes because you're now developing for the future. If Glennon, here's where I would say the difference would be. If Glennon is doing well and the Bears are winning, or the Bears are 2-2 or 3-1 or something of that nature, then you say, you know what, we're going to let the rookie hold off. We're going to keep playing Glennon because we're in a good spot. He's winning. We're gelling. We may sneak into the playoffs. We'll deal with next year. That's the difference. If Glennon is not winning and he's looking like a stiff, especially on the road, your future has to be what's paramount now. So by saying, okay, this guy looks terrible on the road, he looks halfway serviceable at home, at least the team is being competitive at home, you have to at that point then say, well, you know what? If he's not going to do any better than what our rookie would, then we have to move on. We have to move towards our future to see what we have. Look, Trubisky is a project. What I like about what Cleveland has done with Deshaun Kizer, and I think it was very smart, you have a bunch of other quarterbacks on that roster that can say, well, we have experience, we have all these other things, but there's about 6 quarterbacks that are going to be drafted next year. You have to find out what you have so that way you know where to go in the future. So they have Deshaun Kizer playing, even though there's a quote-unquote veteran behind him, so you know where you're going to go. The Bears, I think, because we know what Glennon is, even though they thought they knew what they were getting before, you now officially know what you have. You have a quarterback that would be a good backup quarterback in this league. You have a quarterback who got replaced and from his starting position was replaced by Jameis Winston down in Tampa. And now we're seeing why he was replaced. And all the Bears did now is confirm that. Give the man his $18.5 million guarantee, tell him he's now a backup, put the rookie in, let's see what the rookie can do. He has to do better with a limited playbook than what Glennon is doing with the full playbook. It's just not adding up. Start the future now.
Right, I get it. But, like, if you put in Trubisky now, it basically says that, you know, you basically wash this season whether you do or you don't, which we all know that the Bears weren't going anywhere. But, you know, and then you put him in and you see what he can do. But I said that from the beginning. I was like, you know, but now that you already put Glennon in, I feel like it's too soon to bench him. You have to, you know, you have to see a little bit more from him before you can actually bench him. But, yeah, I agree. The rookie should be in. I feel like, you know, he should have been in from the beginning. I was like, you know, you guys didn't really have a chance. Everybody was surprised the way you played against Atlanta. Everybody was surprised, you know, the way you played against the Steelers. But you did get blown out by Tampa Bay, and now you got blown out by Green Bay, which are considerably both good teams. Not to say that Atlanta's not a good team, but you know what I'm saying. So at this point, you're in too deep. What can you do? So I feel like Trubisky will be starting before the end of the season. I guarantee that, because the Bears aren't going to win that many more games.
Well, no. Here's where I disagree. How many games did Tom Savage play before Houston decided to go to Deshaun Watson?
But the Bears are not the Houston Texans. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tom Savage was just – he shouldn't have been in it from the beginning. But I don't think that they felt confident enough in Deshaun Watson to start him from the beginning. I feel like they were more comfortable with Tom Savage when actually Deshaun Watson was the better pick.
But that's the same – you could say the same thing in Chicago. The Bears brought this guy in to be the starter, then realized they could draft their quarterback of the future. So they went with the veteran to start. But the veteran isn't giving the Bears anything on the road. Nothing.
Right.
He's giving them nothing on the road. So the difference is, you would think the Texans made more of a risk, because they're a playoff defensive football team. They're a playoff roster. The Bears are not a playoff roster. And I didn't want Trubisky to start, because you can't put a rookie in with a bad defense, but an average defense and a bad offense, and expect him to do anything but get killed. So you start the veteran first to see what you have as a football team. But once the veteran is starting to fail, then you go to the rookie. The Texans could say, okay, after a half, we see our offensive line isn't as good, but our defense normally will hold us in games while we give him learning curve. That's the difference with them, and that's why they made that move, because of their line. The Bears aren't even really making moves, because all their good receivers are out. Not sure that's unfair to the ones that are there, but their receivers are out. So you need someone who can possibly throw some separation and throw receivers open. You need someone to give them the lift. You need someone that's not going to turn the ball over as much as Glennon is turning the ball over. And that's why I think now is the time. Like I said, I will admit that from the beginning, I said after the bye week. But if you have 10.5 days and this is a mini bye week, make the move. There's nothing to wait for now. You got to make the move now. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree that he should, you know, be starting. But, you know, I don't see them benching Glenn in the next game, even though he had those turnovers. I mean, his receivers weren't catching the ball, and you know, I don't want to give the excuse of the weather, but you know, they're not a good team, so they don't hold on to the ball. You know, it's just tough.
And if he's that bad, what I'm saying is, find out what you have, find out what Trubisky's going to give you. It's not like this team is going to jump from 3 wins to 12 wins. If you want him to play now, to start to get tough and understand what's going on. Do you really, if you're in Chicago and you're a fan or you're a player or you're whatever, you know Trubisky is going to be starting next year. Barring injury, barring anything catastrophic, you know Trubisky will start next year. Do you want his first game to be next year, when hopefully you're a better team with better receivers, your young receivers will get better, your young tight ends will get better, your defense will get better? That's when you want to put Trubisky in? No, he has to get under some fire. Like I said, I just thought it would be week 9, but I didn't know Glennon was – I always knew he wasn't great, but a lot of people are saying it's not all his fault. It's never all one person's fault. But when he has opportunity, he doesn't always make good on those opportunities. For every one great drive that he has four or five very average or bad drives. So I think it's time. I think it's time to make the move. It's not going to give us 10 more victories, but hell, it may not give us 10 more losses. So I think it's time, especially from a football aspect. All right, Glennon, you got $18.5 million. It's guaranteed. It's yours. Take the money. We have a caller online. Let's see who we got. Caller, thank you for patiently waiting. Who do we have on the Carrie Lackey Law Line?
Thanks. This is Lou from Jersey.
Hey, Lou. How you doing, buddy?
All right. I happen to hear
your
last caller.
You got
I don't think the Bears are going to do much of anything this year, especially with Trubisky as your quarterback. He's going to start next week. Oh, boy, that's going to be a guaranteed loss. I've seen the Bears play this season, and they have been absolutely horrible.
Minus the Pittsburgh game. I thought I'd throw that in.
Well, yeah. Minus.
Looked pretty good. Yeah. No, and I agree with you. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Trubisky is going to be the cure. What I'm saying is, if I have medicine and they're both the same and they both leave a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, I want to at least know what the medicine I haven't tried is. I want to know if I've moved up spots to draft someone as my future, I'd rather have my future start now as opposed to have that same old quarterback that's going to give me the same old results. We're going to play a little bit better at home than we do on the road, but every time we go on the road, I'm going to crap the bed. And I just think it's time to move on. Bears aren't great by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
No one is being misled. No one is being misled thinking a quarterback trade-off is the answer to their problems. What I'm saying, though, is if the Bears are going to get better, and they will get better over the summer because they'll get better players continuously, and the ones that they have will get older and mature. I would hate to see my team, and no matter what team it is, get better, and then the next year put in a quarterback that's never taken live fire. Let him take some live fire right now. At least you'll know what you have. And let's say it like this. Could he be any worse than Glennon?
Well, he could be. This isn't certain he's going to be, but there's always that possibility that he could be worse.
Yeah, he's not going to turn into Tebow, so I don't think he's going to get any worse. Glennon
is
perfect.
You better not turn into Tebow. We ain't got time for that.
No, we don't.
He is a perfect backup quarterback. He is. If I had Glennon as a backup and my starter got hurt and Glennon had to come in and finish the game or maybe give me a spot start, I would be very comfortable. But from what I've seen him play down in Tampa, from what I'm seeing in the Bears with the Bears, he's not a starter. There may be 32 technical starters in the NFL. There's really about 20 that are starters that you can line up behind your center and say, this guy can lead us somewhere. Glennon isn't one of those guys.
Definitely not.
But I digress. The hit last night, Davante Adams.
Davante.
You want to hear Davante Adams? You want to hear something really funny? Six years ago, that hit on ESPN would have been on Jacked Up.
Yes.
There wouldn't have been a flag. We wouldn't be talking about possible suspension. That hit would be on Jacked Up. But now with all the safety and everything else, we're talking about suspending this guy for this hit. And the one thing that I think is unfair, the defensive player is held accountable for how the offensive player turns their body, even if it's at the last second. And I think we're all becoming a little hypocritical on hits. If somehow Davante Adams starts to weasel out of that tackle, what do we say to the other person coming up to make the hit? Well, why did they let him weasel out of the tackle? Why didn't he follow up? Why didn't he help hit him? Why didn't he help tie him up? The hit was vicious, and you can't launch yourself, and you can't treat yourself like your body is a missile. I understand all that.
No.
But I don't think – I mean, this is a guy who has no record of trying to hurt anybody. This is a guy who has a is known as a fierce hitter, fierce defender. I don't think it was on purpose. I'm glad Davante Adams is going to be okay. But I honestly don't think this was one of those I don't think this was a perfect hit, if that makes any sense. I don't think he lined up and said, I'm going to knock this guy into next week.
Oh, some have that mentality.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
but
do.
I don't think that was his intention.
Thanks.
He was already on the play. I think he could have stopped himself if he really wanted to. He probably could have pitched a little bit, moved over just a little bit, and not hit him as hard. But this is a game of football. This is what they do. I don't feel like it was intentional. I felt like maybe he could have changed his route a little bit towards the end, you know, because he was coming in. But, you know, it's game time speed. Either you're going for it or you're not. And if you're fully committed, he's already committed. So I don't feel like, you know, he should be suspended. I feel like he should have definitely got the penalty, which he did. But I definitely don't believe that, you know, he should be suspended. It's a football play.
I agree with you, but he's going to get suspended for a game. Because it's a message that the NFL wants to send.
Yeah.
You know, this is the message they want to send. I agree because I think intent plays a part. And I honestly don't believe he was intending to do that.
Right. I don't think so either. I agree with that.
I think we lost our caller. So, Lou, hey, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for calling in. Call in anytime. Again, that was we had a caller on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. If you ever want to call in, the number is 917-889-7828. And this segment is being brought to you by the one and only Taziki's Pita Grill, located in Tempe, Arizona, on Elliott and Priest next door to T-Mobile. Let them know PLR sent you, and you will receive 10% off of your meal. Best Mediterranean food in the valley. Again, everything made fresh. Let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off your meal. Chamber, I want to get to a couple things real quick, some breaking news in the NBA. But first, I want to get into these football picks that we do every week. We have to get these going. I definitely, like I said, before you got on, I said I picked with my heart last night, not my pocket, not my wallet. Not that we get picks for gambling at all. This is merely for fun. But we do have picks to make. Excuse me. Let's get this going. Let's get this started. New Orleans goes down to Miami. Who are you rocking with?
I'm taking the Saints.
On the road, Chambers has the Saints. I'm going to go with the home team. Let's rock with Miami. Up next, we have Buffalo. We have Atlanta. Talk to me.
Buffalo and who?
Buffalo and Atlanta, I'm sorry.
Oh, Atlanta?
You're not going to go with Buffalo?
You said what?
On Buffalo? You're going to turn your backs on Buffalo, who beat Denver last week?
Listen, they're playing Atlanta, okay? I have more faith in Atlanta, and I need Buffalo to lose another game, so relax.
Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta, too. Cincinnati is going to Cleveland. Who you got?
You know what? This is, like, you can't pick, like, we should pick who's going to lose, not who's going to win.
That's
I'm
going to
take, I know, it's so bad, but where are they?
They're in Cleveland.
Oh, I don't think that matters. Okay. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to take the Browns.
All right, I'm going with the Browns, too. The Rams go to Dallas.
I'm taking Dallas.
Two for two, I'm going with Dallas, too. Detroit goes to Minnesota.
I'm taking Detroit.
Really? I'm rocking with
yeah,
Minnesota.
Yeah, you know what? I feel...
One.
Okay, because I feel like Detroit is kind of salty after that loss. They would be 3-0 right now, and I think they're going to just come back with, like, nah, we going to win this game. Y'all ain't going to take this game from us. So I'm taking Detroit.
I'm with you on that one, to be honest with you. This is, to me, a pick 'em game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota at home, I'll give them the home court, home field rather advantage. But I'm with you. I'm not I wouldn't be that surprised if Detroit wasn't there and won.
Right.
What Carolina goes to New England, I still profess that something's not quite right with Cam. And in New England at home, I'm not picking against New England at home.
Yeah, there's no way I'm not picking New England. I'm taking New England.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't been on the phone with Robert Kraft or Tom Brady directly, so that's a whole nother.
Oh, how do you know that I haven't?
Yeah. Jacksonville visits New York, the Jets. The J-E-T-S, Jets.
I'm going to take Jacksonville.
You know what's crazy? You couldn't have convinced me to pick Jacksonville on the road until they played the Jets. I'm going with Jacksonville, too. But you know what, though? The Jets' defense isn't as bad as a lot of people thought. It's their offense that's anemic, but their defense is actually not bad.
Yeah, Jacksonville's defense, exactly.
So, Pittsburgh goes to Baltimore.
Whew. Well, I'm going to take Pittsburgh only because of the fact that I feel like they're salty about their loss last week, and the Ravens, So, if we're going to catch Ray on the sideline next week, I'm definitely taking the Steelers.
Wow. Wow. I'm going with the Steelers. I think Baltimore is a farce. Tennessee goes into Houston. That should be a good game. What do you got?
That should be a good game. And you know what? Even though Houston's in our division and I want everybody in our division to lose, I'm going to take Houston. I just like them. I don't know. I just like them.
I like them too. San Francisco comes to Arizona, out in Glendale.
Can
we
just skip this game? Of course, no. I have to take Arizona, or else I'll get burned to death by the sun. So I'm going to take Arizona and hope that, you know, by some miracle, Carson Palmer don't throw no interception, and Larry Fitzgerald is not the only one catching the ball.
Well, I just hope that the offensive line can hold up for Carson Palmer this week. I'm going with Arizona. Philly goes into Los Angeles to play the Chargers.
I'm taking Philly all the way. It's a good team. It's probably the best in the NFC, really. I'd like to see them play Atlanta.
Yeah, I have them in the NFC East being the best team, winning the division. The Chargers find ways to lose, and I think they'll do it again.
You know what I'm trying to say to myself? Is Philip Rivers' time up? Is it not up yet because he's so good? But it's just like, does he not have support? What is wrong? Why is he failing?
Because the rest of their team failed. This is the one time where you cannot blame Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is doing everything he can. And think about it. 2 weeks in a row, he marched that team right down the field goal range to win a game. And each time they let him down. So it's definitely not Philip Rivers. Maybe the team will play looser if they actually played in a stadium that they could sell out, even though they can't sell out. You realize a 30,000-seat stadium for football is only about 8,000 capacity than what the Lakers have. They're playing basically in Staples Center, and they can't sell it out. Do you know how disheartening that must be to play in a soccer stadium, and you can't fill it up? That has to be heartbreaking.
That's why they had to move to L.A.
No, they're in L.A. This is why they had to move back to San Diego. They need to go back. They need to go back. It's just that simple. There's no way the NFL can allow them to play in this stadium for three more years until another one is ready. Please, please, San Diego, if it's you, look at the San Diego, Los Angeles, look at the city of San Diego. Chargers, look at them, call them, put on a Keith Sweat song, and just beg your way back. Just say, baby, please let me come back. I don't know what I was thinking. I got caught up. She looked good. I didn't mean for her to look good. I didn't. Baby, please let me come back. Let me,
please
fam,
let
I'm
me
sorry.
Come back.
But do John Travolta like an urban cowboy, I apologize. Clear back to the first time. Let me come home. San Diego, go home. Go home. You ever see the movie Goodfellas?
Yes, of course.
She's not going to, look, she's just mad. I'll talk to her. I'll smooth it over. Everything will be good. But you got to go home. Yeah, that's the only way. You got to go home. Listen to that, Sandy. Chargers, listen to that. Beg, plead, go back home. New York goes to Tampa Bay. Who wins that game?
Oh, gosh. You know, okay, let me break this down for you. I really want to take Tampa Bay, okay? I really want to take Tampa Bay. But, like, how can the Giants go 0-4? I mean, it's unfathomable. Is that a word? It's unfathomable, okay? If it's not a word, I just made it up, okay? I cannot imagine the Giants going 0-4, especially because their defense is decent. So if Eli can throw the blue jerseys and not white and red jerseys, you know, and Odell can, you know, be himself and somebody else besides Odell can catch the ball, I really say the Giants are going to win this game. I know it's in Tampa Bay. I know that, you know, it's because the odds are against them, but I feel like if they go 0-4, they're done. So I feel like this is it. This is a deciding factor. They have to win this game. If they don't win this game, this season is done. So I can't. I got to go for the Giants on this game.
Who's the running back for the Giants?
I don't know. Shane Vereen?
Okay, there you go. So with that being said, their ship sailed last week. When they went 0-3, that's when that ship was sailing. So they're not going to win this week. Tampa's going to win this week, and it is over for the Giants. The G-Men are done.
Right. But if they lose this game, they are done for sure. Absolutely.
There's no coming back from 0-3 in that division. The Giants have done everything but allow to hit the ship with the champagne bottle. It's done.
Exactly.
They're over.
But
they're
if
losing
by
this
some
week.
Miracle, they win.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on that show on Monday, and we're going to talk about it. Well, at least I hope I'll be able to get on the show. But if not, we're going to talk about it on Wednesday. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this pick. I'm ready for this
pick. We're going to talk about the 1-3 Giants. We've already talked too much about the 0-3 Giants. So, with that being said, bye-bye, Giants. Your season is over. Get a running back that someone knows the name of. Oakland is playing in Denver. Who you got?
I'm going to take Denver.
I'm going to take Denver, too. Oakland's defensive backs are a hot mess.
And first of all, Denver's going to be pissed about the loss last week. So they're going to be ready to play.
And the fact that Oakland's DBs are god-awful. They're terrible. They can't cover Brown on the paper bag right now. They are struggling, and I don't think it gets better in Denver. Plus, those two teams hate each other.
Yeah.
Let's see who can stay awake for this game. Sunday night football.
Why
ESPN, the
four-letter.
See how the language. Folks, I apologize for the language. See, that's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
See, that's what happens when emotions get caught up. Emotions get caught up, curse words come out. That's a doggone shame. Family station.
I know. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. I just got a little emotional. I don't understand why it's a primetime game and it's not a good game. Like, there's so many good games this weekend that could have been primetime.
Well, you know what's really funny, though, on this one is we said that last Thursday night when San Francisco played L.A. I know I did. I know I said I'd rather go shopping with my mom than watch that game. And so far, it's been one of the better games of the year. So, watch this ends up being the same, but I doubt it. Indianapolis goes to Seattle. I'm picking Seattle. Indianapolis is just a bad team.
You know, I like Jacoby. I think he's doing some good things. Where are they?
In Seattle.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, I'm picking Seattle.
See, not only are you cursing, but you were drinking before you got on the phone because if for a second you entertained the idea that Indianapolis could hold on, you were day drinking.
Listen,
I don't care where he came from. You were drinking mimosas this morning. If you thought for one iota of a second that they could beat you know what? Let me go ahead to the next to the last game, because between your drinking and your cussing, I don't know what I don't know. Monday night, Washington goes to Kansas City.
First of all, let me clear something up before I give you my pick. Any given Sunday, any football team can win. So let's not act like it's out of the question. He's very mobile. He may not be as good as Russell Wilson, but he, you know, and he's got a good arm. Listen, I feel like it's going to be a good game, but I'm going to take Seattle. And then on Monday night is Washington and who?
Kansas City, but we have a caller on the line. Let's take the call first before I give you my pick.
Caller,
thanks for calling on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. You got PLR in Chambers. Who do we have online?
How's it going? This is Tom. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
How you doing
how
today,
you?
Sir?
I'm doing good. I'm literally just tuning in, so I'm not sure what you guys are talking about, but if you let me know, I can hop in real quick.
Sure thing. We are picking – well, we've just picked all the games except the very last game, the Monday night game, Washington going to Kansas City. So I'll tell you what, Chambers just made her pick, or did you make your pick?
No, but I'm picking Kansas City.
Okay, so you know what? Your timing is perfect. We'll allow you to pick this game.
Are we talking the spread, or are we talking who's going to win?
Nah, just who's going to win.
Who's going to win?
I'd pick KC if I had to pick. I think it's gonna be a better game than people think, but I think KC will win. I think it'll be pretty close, though.
I agree. Did you have any topics that you wanted to talk about, or are you just listening in?
Some NBA coming up soon. I think some of the season games start tomorrow, right? I think the Lakers are starting. A few other teams are playing tomorrow, so it's hard to believe the season's already coming up in a month.
In fact, it's kind of funny. Just so everyone knows, I picked KC too. We have a couple minutes left in the show, and I was going to get to my NBA breaking news if no one has heard it yet. Russell Westbrook has officially signed his 5-year deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder for $205 million. So he will be in OKC for the next 5 years, guaranteed.
I am surprised. I am stunned he did that. Money-wise, I guess it makes sense.
Where is he going to go, though? You got to think, where is he going to go? I mean,
anywhere and
everywhere. Everybody would want him, but he's not going to be the star there. And that's who he wants to be. So I'm not surprised by this.
Is it? I don't get the sense he wants to be. I get the sense he wants to be a star. I don't get the sense he wants to be the star. I think he wants to win. I think he really cares about winning. I'm pretty surprised by that. Because he could have signed that next year. And that team to me, well, I'll admit, Sam Presti turned water into wine by trading Victor Oladipo
really
and Enes Kanter into Melo and Paul George.
Yeah.
That team has 1 year team written all over it. I think George is, for all intents and purposes, signed, sealed, and delivered to L.A. And Melo is not really Melo anymore. You know, I think this is the last season you'll see him be – like a really elite offensive player, and I think the rest of his game has started to fall off. I'm surprised Westbrook wouldn't at least wait to see how this turns out before he signs that deal. I mean, that's his whole career now locked into OKC when he could have had some control over it. I mean, there's not a ton of teams with cap space next year, but, you know, you're looking at a lot of teams that could have made it, the Spurs, Lakers. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could have made it. So I'm surprised he signs that. Not a good move by him, I think. Financially, it's a great move, but – basketball-wise, I think he could have had his cake and eaten it, too. He could have waited on signing that. I think he could have waited on signing that. Yeah.
I agree with you, but I tell you what. You put 5 years, $205 million in front of me, I would have signed it yesterday. But we're up against it on Monday. Just to give you a heads up on this network, we're doing a complete basketball show on Monday at noon. Called Courtside with PLR, so please tune in to that. If not, tune in, please, on Monday to the Cave Show. Chambers, we got 30 seconds. Give your information.
You guys know where to find me, Official Mimi C on Instagram and Twitter. You guys know my shows on Wednesday night, Gameplay, 8 p.m. Pacific. See you guys Wednesday.
And then you can get us on the Sports Cave on Instagram, Twitter, Official Fan Page on Facebook, and you can get us also at thesportscave.com. Cave is always with the K. You get me at PLR on Sports. Thanks for the callers calling in on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Chambers, as usual, thank you. And everyone, have a great weekend.
Later.